Matthew 14 through 22. Jesus calls his first disciples. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother. They were on a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called to them, and they immediately left the boat, and their father followed him.
So today's passage describes how Jesus saw Peter and Andrew and James and John with their boats and relatives, and he said to them, "Follow me," and they got up, left everything, and followed him. So what I want to do today is I want to ask you, if Jesus Christ came into your office, your home, your workplace, wherever you are, and asked you to follow him, what would you do? Because he's telling us this every day. Jesus' repeated call to his disciples to follow him is evident through many pieces of scripture. In this verse that we read today in Matthew 4:18-22, he commands both sets of brothers, Peter and Andrew and James and John, to follow him. In Matthew chapter 8, there was a man who wished to go first across the Sea of Galilee in verse 21. Then Jesus responds to him in verse 22, saying, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." Later in Matthew 9, the calling of Matthew, Jesus simply told him to follow him, and instantly, almost just as simply as he was asked, he got up from his tax collector's booth and he followed him. And again in Matthew chapter 10, he says that whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Once more, in Matthew chapter 19, he tells the rich young man of many great possessions, "Sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have great treasure in heaven. Come follow me." And then at the very end of the book of John, chapter 21, verse 19, Jesus had already been crucified, resurrected, and he was appearing to his disciples just before he ascended up into heaven. And he told Peter one last time to follow him. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, sometimes these questions can be really complicated, or at least it was for me, so I started by thinking the opposite. What did Jesus not mean? Some people out there will say, "Yes, I follow Jesus, I go to church." But just going to church doesn't mean you're following Jesus. It is a part of it, but there's so much more than that. You can go to church and not be a follower of Jesus at all. Proven in the first chapter of Mark. The Bible states that Jesus went into a synagogue to preach, and in verse 23, there was a man with an unclean spirit who cried out against Jesus. It does not mean just believing in who he is. James 2, verse 19 tells us, "You believe that God is one, and you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Faith apart from works is useless." Another good point comes in John 12, verse 42. "Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it so that they would not be put out of their own synagogue. They were ashamed to confess him, and they were lost. They did not truly follow Jesus either." And the third thing is that it does not mean just liking him. There are a few social media accounts that I follow because I like the quotes that they post. If you follow someone, you can read these little one-line quotes from various books and people, so I like to read their words. But we need to understand today that this is not what it means to follow Jesus. We need to understand that following Jesus means more than just liking his words and enjoying what he reads and what he has to say. So after all this, what does it mean? For these disciples and fishermen, following Jesus meant literally and physically leaving what they were doing and following him wherever he went. Peter and Andrew and James and John all did that. Matthew 4, verse 20 says that Peter and Andrew at once left their nets and followed him. Verse 22 says that James and John did the same. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Matthew did the exact same in Matthew chapter 9:9. He got up from his tax collector's booth and followed him. All these men had physically left what they were doing and started following Jesus. They had left their jobs, their meetings, their families, their priorities, plans, appointments, and all kinds of other things to follow him. So we see that following Jesus means that we're going to need to make some changes to our lives. There will be some things that we need to leave behind. But the situation alters a bit today. That Jesus does not stand physically before us in the flesh telling us to walk over to him. But it does still mean that we will have to leave some things behind in a brand new life reborn in Christ. This can mean that you leave behind the life you might have planned that was centered around yourself. Because when you truly follow Jesus, your life is centered around him. It's no longer a question of what you want to do. It's what he tells you to do. It's no longer what you feel like doing, but it's what his word instructs you to do. It's not what you can achieve here on earth for yourself. It's what you can do to glorify God in every action. It also means that you have to leave behind your sin, and it's one of the most important parts. Following Jesus doesn't mean that you can just keep doing whatever you were doing before, only now Jesus has come to clean up after yourself. As I was searching through some scripture to determine what I was going to talk about today, one caught my eye. It was a display of grace from Jesus from the adulterous woman in John chapter 8. Caught in the act and shamed publicly, Jesus told her, "Neither do I condemn you. This is truly amazing grace, just as the song says." But we can't pass up the last sentence he said to her. He said, "Now go and sin no more." Years ago, someone said, if you look behind the Jesus and his disciples on the road, you can find all kinds of things that were left behind. You can find nets, boats, family members, businesses, money, ego, selfishness, self-centeredness, and even careers that were left. And it's inevitable. For this reason, I have a few questions for you to think about to yourself. Are there some things that you no longer do because you're following Jesus? Are there dreams that you no longer dream because you're following him? And are there people that you no longer associate yourself with because you're following him? These things will be left behind in the road behind you. It just makes sense. Think about it this way. If you're following Jesus, you're not following something else. You have to leave those other things behind. So let me ask you again. Are there things that you have left behind for him? And are there things that you should be leaving behind for him? We can also see in other places in God's word what it means for us to follow Jesus. It means spending more time with him, one of the most important elements of following him. This is what the fishermen did. They walked alongside him and asked him questions and even listened to his answers. Mark chapter 3, verse 14 says that when Jesus called the 12 to follow him, that he did it so that they might be with him and that he could send them out to preach. He called his followers to minister, and we'll talk about that in a second. But first, he told them to be with him. That's what salvation really is, isn't it? Being with him forever. Since Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that's what separates us from him. If he hadn't done anything for us, none of us would have ever been able to be with him in heaven. But because of his crucifixion, his ultimate sacrifice, he paid the price to bring us back to God. 1 Peter 3, verse 18, says, "For Christ also suffered once for his sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, and that he might bring us to God. The whole purpose for which we are saved is that we might come back to God and to be with him." Following him also means a lot more than just spending time with him. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus talks a lot about what it means for us to really follow him. Some of the highlights from that are as follows. The first being confession. In Matthew 10, verse 32, "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven." Part of this process is to align ourselves publicly with him as your Lord and Savior. If you can remember from earlier back to John chapter 12, it's what those Jewish leaders were not willing to do. The first step of that is in baptism, which is our form of public notice of our commitment to following Jesus. What is important to know as well is to look for the opportunities to stand with God and for him. We should not back away from these times, but rather embrace them, as that is what it means to follow him altogether. Another part of following him means to follow in his example. Matthew 10, verse 25 says, "It is enough for a disciple to be like his teacher, and a servant like his master." The next of these comes from our character that we see outlined in the Beatitudes of Mark 5:3-12. We are also to become like him in our ministry. We are to follow Jesus doing the things that he would be doing in this world. And one last part of understanding what it means to follow him is loving him with all of our heart. Simply put, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, He who loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. This can be extremely difficult for a lot of people, and I personally have no room to talk. But what it is saying is that there should be nothing we should love more than Jesus. It's not saying that we can't love anything else. It's just saying that Jesus should be the greatest. So a quick recap of that section. Understanding what it means to follow Jesus is leaving behind our sin and changing the way we do things. Spending time with him, confessing to him, following his example, and loving him with all of our heart. If this is what it means to follow Jesus, are you following him today? Let me ask you a few questions to help you get an idea if you're not sure. Have you confessed him publicly in baptism, and do you continue to confess him in front of others when situations arise? Do you spend time with him in his word and in prayer and in worship? Are there times where you just love him and praise him, not in church, but when it's just you and God, because you really love him from the bottom of your heart? Are you following in his example, being more humble and being more dependent upon him? And are you doing what Jesus would do, going where he would be going and saying what he would be saying? Following Jesus means a whole lot more than just clicking a button on Twitter or Instagram. It means leaving your old life behind completely, all kinds of other things, just as you confess him as the Lord of your life and base your whole foundation around him. And lastly, Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, "And I will make you fishers of men." As you follow Jesus, your life is all about him, as we have seen. He will be the center of your life. But as you follow him, he is going to give you ministries to people. And these people should be the focus. That was true of Jesus when he walked here on earth. He was all about reaching and teaching and caring for the people. In Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save which was lost." And in Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 56, when James and John wanted to call down fire from the heavens to kill Samaritans who would not take Jesus and his disciples in, Jesus rebuked them and said, "You do not know what kind of spirit you are of. I did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." He came to give his life as a ransom for many. So following Jesus, it will lead you to minister to people. And it was not just about learning the facts. He doesn't care whether you won Bible trivia today or not. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, "The goal of our instruction is to love from a pure heart and good conscience and a sincere faith." He says that all the reading and studying of God's word that you do is to grow you in love. In Sunday school, teachers will often have to memorize bits of scripture, such as John 3:16 is a very famous one. Memorization is not an end in itself. If my scripture memory does not compel me to love God more and minister to his people better, what more am I than a 21st century Pharisee? I love that last scene from the Jimmy Stewart movie, It's a Wonderful Life. George Bailey had tried all of his life to make something of himself and to make money and get out of Bedford Falls. But in the very end, when everything came crashing down on him, it was all the people that he had touched and helped who came back to bail him out. And he realized, life isn't about the money. It's about the people that you touch with your life. And that's what Jesus is saying to us here today. He says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And this is one of the ways that we can really evaluate ourselves. How are we doing at following Jesus? And how can we really know? One of the best ways is to ask yourself this. Are you fishing for men like Jesus said you would if you were following him? Are you reaching people? Are you discipling for them? And are you caring for them? Are you reaching out for them with your life? Because that's really what following Jesus is all about. After Jesus' death and resurrection, he took some time to talk with Peter about all he'd been through and how he had denied him 3 times. But at the end of it all, Jesus said, "Follow me." But Peter had some questions. He had some things that he wanted to know. And he wondered what was going to happen to John. But after all was said and done in the Gospels, Jesus' command was the same to Peter as it had been when he had first found him here in Matthew 4 as just a fisherman. And it was still, "Follow me." I have no doubt that this is what Jesus is telling us today right here as well. You don't have to sit there today and wonder, if Jesus were standing right here, what would he say to me? We know from the scripture today that he would say to you, "Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever in the future. His message to you would be the same to you today as it was over and over and over again in his word. And it's to follow me. Some of you today can call yourselves followers of Jesus, and you really are. But some of you, including myself, need to make changes in our lives. Today, hearing his voice again, follow me, respond to him. Tell him, yes, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Or maybe you say that you're a follower of Jesus, but there's a particular area in which you've been falling short and you've not been following him. And today, he's telling you in that area to follow him. Maybe you are his follower and just not confessed him publicly in baptism. Or maybe you're not spending time with him every day. Maybe in some areas, you're still content with sin. But he's telling you today and every day to follow me and leave all this behind. So let us answer this call and ask for the grace and the strength to do this today. Maybe you have never really followed Jesus, but you can start following him right now. If you are willing to turn from your sin and turn to follow him as our Lord and Savior, let us pray to ask him to help you do that. Please pray with me. Dear God, I pray that you can give us the strength to follow you in our everyday lives, to confess to you, and to give up all of our lives to follow you. In your name I pray, amen.